Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2023 PGA Championship, the second major of the year at Oak Hill Country Club. Going to be a fun one. Going to be a wild one. Going to be a lot of carnage on the golf course. We'll have some fun with that. You can find me on Twitter at BDEntric, my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. We got our second major of the season. The year just keeps hammering along right now. So
yeah.
Looking forward to this. Thoughts on the Byron Nelson, though, Jason Day?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch much of it. I had some plans on watching it on Sunday, but then, like, I was watching a little bit, and then Jason Day just was ahead, and Scottie Scheffler can't make a putt inside 3 feet, so, or 4-5 feet, whatever. I don't have much thoughts. I mean, you know, we've been talking about Jason Day for a while and him trending towards a victory. I didn't see it there this week, but that's quite often the case.
Yep. Yeah, no, Jason Day, the week before, he basically was like withdrawal vertigo mode, and then he comes out and wins. So it just goes to show you how things can change. I'm not saying that's going to be the Jordan Spieth narrative this week, but
right.
We'll look at some more guys as we get going. And that I saw Paul Casey just withdrew, by the way. Sam Stevens is replacing him, my boy. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, really? I saw it
come through.
He was second up on the list, or next up on the list there.
He's after got a couple for, other WDs. Mr. Paul Casey.
So, I wonder what happened with Paul Casey. I didn't even realize he was in the field.
Yeah, he got an exemption. That was one of the ones that PGA gave him an exemption to come in, and that stirred up a lot of hornet's nests because a live dude got an exemption. So, yeah, whatever. I didn't care. I think, hey, if he's the right player, he's the right player. He gives a shit where he golfs.
Right. I don't know how good he's been playing recently, though, because I don't follow the live tour. Apparently, I don't know if you saw in the live, but they went to a playoff, and then it got cut off because of –
yeah, the headlines are a bit skewed. It got cut off in like half of the markets, not on right. All of the markets. So yes, it got cut off still. Yes, 100%.
That's fucking hilarious.
Which is stupid. Which is almost as bad as ESPN going dual screen with the NHL playoffs in a 9-1 baseball game. That was pretty freaking stupid. But it just gives the live haters just a million more things to laugh at. That's all.
It sure does. Yeah,
like, I would love to watch it because I love some of the golfers on Live. I'm just not going to the CW. I'm not going to their YouTube page. Like, make it accessible. I'll watch the damn thing. I literally have the golf channel on or baseball on in my office every moment I'm sitting down in here. Yeah. So, like, if you had it on, I would watch the damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's never going to be on the golf channel, but.
No, but get something like Fox. Get Fox. ESPN has PGA. Fox, get in. Let's go. That's how this works, people. Competition. This is how it works.
Fox does NASCAR, though, too. You think about that.
That's
like,
true. That's their Sunday. Their Sunday's booked. Sunday's booked up. So that's going to make it difficult. But yeah.
Unless they teed off the live stuff at like 7 a.m. when it's Eastern time.
Overseas. Think about when it's overseas.
Well, I mean, overseas for sure would work because they played that one golf tournament. And I didn't even realize it was going on. Yep. I didn't realize they had a golf tournament this past weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't know they had one this past weekend until I saw the stuff about the playoff between like Cam Smith and DJ and like all these.
I would have watched it if I.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would watch these guys play. Like, it's just. No idea. Yeah, it's shitty. It's a shitty deal, but hopefully it gets better. We'll see. I don't think it will, but maybe in the next couple of years they'll all come back because the PGA will let them back. We've talked about that. That's they ain't keeping the best of the best out. They may make them quote unquote work for it a little bit, but they're coming back.
Yeah.
So, all right. It was fun to see Jason win one. Scotty, like you said, played great. Just couldn't putt. Other than that, it was as most have said. If you were basically from the Australia region or from Asia, you played great at the Byron Nelson, and it just crazy, came through man. Once again. It's just a trend unlike any others. So next year, don't listen to our show. Just go to all the Asian players, all the Aussie players. Make 20 max. Just mix and match it, and there you go. See what happens. That's your
probably would work. It probably would work this year.
Yeah, it would work pretty damn good. All right, let's talk PGA Championship. This is a great one. Second major of the year. It's like, to me, it's a more fun US Open because if you hit good golf shots, you're rewarded. Unlike the US Open, you can still get screwed. But this is also a test where the PGA makes it just tough enough. If you're not on your game, they will eat you and spit you out. So before we kind of get into the course preview, I guess you'll have past event history at different golf courses. What's kind of your thoughts and expectations for the week?
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading a lot or seeing a lot of quotes from guys on Twitter. You know, it's like, I think Bobby McIntyre said it was like really, really difficult, just paraphrasing there. And then, you know, I saw a quote from John Rahm where I think he said it wasn't like as hard as other people have said. It's
John freaking Rahm.
It's John Rahm, right? Yeah, I mean,
come on.
But I mean, so it just depends. I mean, you know, I feel like every major, especially U.S. Open, the rough is up. And unfortunately, these guys aren't used to playing in that because they get these fucking, you know, cookie cutter golf courses where the PGA, you know, the PGA or the PGA wants them to shoot 20 under to win. And so I feel like if they played, you know, more deep rough throughout the year, like it wouldn't even be an issue. I mean, obviously the rough sucks if you hit it in there. But these guys are the best in the world. I mean, sometimes you do have to chop it out sideways. That's the only option. But they're going to find a way to get it up around the green. So then, you know, a lot of short game comes in for that reason. And so is it going to be overly difficult? I don't know. I mean, like looking back in 2013, Jason Duffner won this golf tournament. And he withdrew this week, apparently. But he shot 10 under and won by two shots over Jim Furyk. Now, since then, apparently they've taken out a shit ton of trees. They redid the greens. They built three new holes. So it's not even really the same golf course, most likely, that what Jason played, you know, back in 2013. But it's been held twice here since 2003. And Sean McKeel won in 2003, shot four under that year, two shots over Chad Campbell. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of spilling over into what you're going to get ready to talk about as far as the course goes. But for me, I mean, I'm just going to be targeting a lot of guys who hit it far.
Yeah. And that's like, I'm not going to give the in-depth like course previews because there's been so much great work on that over even the last 2 weeks. People like, but go look at the flyover on the website. Like, I'll just tell you that. That's pretty much all you need. Bottom line, as Jesse said, bombs away. That's going to be a big thing because the reports, I was reading a lot of the, it's like a Texas driving range pro, I forget what his name is or whatever. He's hilarious. JJ Klein. He's been documenting everything since he made the PGA 2 weeks ago. He did the Byron Nelson. He's been a great watch. Aaron Fleener, JT Potion's caddy. He said he walked in on Sunday, kind of gave his, he said he walked on Sunday, made a couple comments. Smiley Kaufman asked him a question on his tweet. So then Fleener went in all his thoughts, which was really cool to see. What it comes down to, and this is the kind of things they've all echoed. It's a very, very long course. As we know, I can give you those stats. Of course, it's a
par 70, right?
Par 70, almost 7,400 yards. Jesse, we played a couple like par 72s around 7,200 recently. Like this is 400 yards farther and two fewer shots. Yeah. Like, so that's one thing that's going to get you real good. If you want the brass tacks of it, there's a Donald Ross course redesigned, as you mentioned. There's two of the par fives are over 615 yards. So they're not gettable in two. That's very clear. So, but even back when Duffner won in 13, they weren't gettable, but it allowed for easy wedge shots in. So that's one thing to look at. Seven of the par fours are over 460 yards. So par fours, 450 to 500, pretty important. Two of the par threes are over 230. Most of your approach shots will be 200 plus. Long iron play is going to come into play. You want to be in the fairway, obviously, but if you can bomb it away and have a closer shot out of the rough, obviously beneficial. We've seen that. That's how Bryson won at events like this. That's how these guys succeed. The bunkers, there's a lot of bunkers. There's fairway bunkers. There's around the green bunkers. The ones around the green are very, very elevated is the right word. Like you're deep down. So you have to like really get up into it. Like it's not just like an easy up and out. That was one thing Fleener emphasized a lot. He's like, if you're in the bunker, it'll roll down a lot because it's that steep. Right. Like it's a vertical bunker shot. You're not going to hit. So you have to get it up and then kind of get it to land and do its thing, which is obviously not easy. So you got that on your way. If you are in a fairway bunker, these are some things they said. This is actually, I think, the Texas range guy. He said, yeah, you're hitting a sand wedge and you're trying to go 200 yards. So don't get in the fairway bunker. That's basically what it came down to. Because that's like, he's all, it's almost as bad as being in the rough, almost. Because you're just basically punching it out.
Yeah.
one thing that if you want to put into context for people like us that are novice golfers, Jesse's a very good handicap. I'm like a 16, 17 handicap. They asked, what'd you say his name was? JP Killian or something?
JJ Killian.
JJ Killian. I feel bad. I should know it. I would follow him all the time. He's hilarious. JJ Killian. Someone asked, I think it was the Monday qualifier account. He said, what would a scratch golfer shoot here? And JJ Killian said, this is before he played. He said, a scratch golfer would probably shoot 92, 93. He said, after I played, if a scratch golfer found the rough, he'd be lucky to break 100. So just put that in context on the difficulty. Like, you're going to see some blow up holes out there just because guys get wayward. The scores will be low. I'd imagine like your cut lines in the 3-4 over range, probably, give or take. Because you also got to factor in there's at least 20 club pros that qualified here. Not many of them are going to make it to the weekend. That's just the brass tacks of it all. Mm-hmm. So it's not as bad as the Masters of cutting people out, but you got that going for you too. So yeah, I could give you the whole shebang. It's bent grass greens. You got that. But it's a bomber's course. It's an approach shot course. You don't have to stay out of the rough, but it's highly advisable to stay out of the rough on this course. And, you know, just good around the green scrambling, bogey avoidance type games would be very, very big. Like, pars are a great score on majority of these holes. So attack par fives, get your pars elsewhere and see where it goes. Do you have any other thoughts before we get into some more of this?
I mean, I really don't. That's I love majors because it's a major, but it always sucks for three out of the four because you're getting a different golf course that they've redesigned, that they've changed, whatever. And so it makes it really difficult in a very difficult sport to predict. It makes it even more fucking difficult to predict it because we really don't know how it's going to play. I mean, you can obviously read if you remember Aaron Hills a couple of years ago for the U.S. Open, oh God, it's going to be one of the hardest courses ever, and Brooks shoots 1600. Yeah. I mean, so it's difficult. Like if I was playing a lot of lineups, I would play it a couple of different ways as far as like obviously very difficult. But then maybe not so difficult because everybody's going to play it as if it's going to be very difficult. Everybody who's, you know, that 90% of people are going to play it as very difficult golf course. That's what they're going to be thinking in their mind when they're making lineups. So often zagging when people are zigging is it's a good route to take in when playing against them and gambling DFS.
It's a great point. And there had been a lot of rain in this area over the last few weeks. There's supposed to be rain this weekend. So the greens that are super firm and fast right now, they're talking about in the practice rounds. Like Killian said, he broke 12 tees fixing divots on the hard greens over the Monday practice round, that they could soften up. And then it becomes more of a dart fest where we've seen hard greens, like you got to almost lay it up and hope it runs up type things. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
The only weather is really kind of Friday, late Friday,
into Saturday
morning, and kind of maybe lingering through the afternoon on Saturday with some rain. Wind doesn't look terrible to me. Friday may be the worst day, but we're looking at like 13 mile an hour winds. So I mean, nothing too crazy, and like it looks absolutely wonderful on Thursday. Other than it is a little bit more chilly than probably or used to, 64 degrees, 53 degrees was the high today, or was supposed to be, or the high tomorrow, and then warm up 64, 79 on Friday, then back down to 63 on Saturday and up to 73 on Sunday. So it's not going to be like fucking Ireland, but it's a little bit different than what we're used to because it is kind of springish in the Northeast, and you know, this type of shit can happen where it's a little bit colder than other parts of the country, obviously.
We'll see what happens. It's going to be fun. Just hopefully I hope the worst of the weather holds off till after the cut. So let everybody get even like splits through the time, like, and just go that route and then just have hell with it. I don't care after that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the DK. And it's going to be fun this week because some of this pricing is very enticing. Like in recent weeks, we've been having like three guys in the top 10 and like one Scotty Scheffler or one's John Rahm. It's like, okay, we'll play them. Well, you kind of can say that, but it's different. We have five dudes 10K and above, which we haven't had in a while. You got John Rahm at 11.4, you got Scheff at 11.2, Rory at 10.7, who is a disaster right now, Morikawa at 10.3, he moved up the rankings, and then Big Dick Brooks at 10.1. I love the DraftKings price to me. I was going to say it flat out because he was like 88 or 86 for the Masters. Dude,
he was, I got it.
And
76.
So, 76. Yeah. So, and people are still worried to play him then because they didn't know what they were getting from the live guys. Now he's all the way up to 10-1 after one golf tournament, basically.
Yeah.
And I love Brooks. Nothing would shock me if Brooks contended here because he likes kind of the lower scoring deals. He doesn't like the birdie fest, but 10-1's wild. I'll say that much. That's like a big DraftKings, like, okay, we're not going with chalk Brooks this week. Figure it out. So what do you like in this range?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's hard to pass on, obviously, the top two, Rahm and Scheffler. The only other case that I will make for somebody up here is simply ownership base, and that's Colin Morikawa. I mean, I'm looking at like 8%, like maybe probably the 5 to 8% range. Is that what you're seeing as well?
I'll get you something in a minute. I haven't clicked enough people yet.
Coming off a miscut at the Wells Fargo, he's not had a great year. He's not necessarily a bomber, but he is a little bit more accurate off the tee, especially more recently than some of these guys up here. So if you're looking to get a little bit different than, you know, Rahm, Scotty, I love John Rahm this week. Shocker. You know, I think Scotty's fine. Scotty's putting worries me. I'm sure these greens are going to be just absolutely lightning fast. And if he can't make a 5-footer at the Byron Nelson, I don't know that's just really going to change this week. It very well could. But so the other guy that, like, I just ownership based, you know, Colin Morikawa, if the ball striking's there, I could see him inside the top 10 easy come Sunday and with a chance to win.
Yeah, I got Morikawa projected at this point at 7%. So
yeah, that's like exactly what I got.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting there. Pretty chalky with Rahm and Scheff for sure. But Rory and Brooks both at 10.9 right now, which is – I just love this. That Brooks pricing just got me giggling the first time I saw it. I was just like, that is freaking good. That is good stuff. But, yeah, I'm with you. It's Rahm. It's Scotty. I think it's going to be fun because Scotty just rates out so great minus the putting. Like, he's 53rd in this field in putting over the last 24 rounds. That's not even counting, like, fast as shit bent greens. Like, I can only imagine what that registers as. But he's first on my model. He's Rahm's fourth somehow. I don't know how, but Scotty's first. He's second off the tee, second in approach, third in par fours, 450 to 500, third in bogey avoidance. Rahm's first in proximity over 200 yards. That's big boy stuff. So yeah, those are your two clear guys. I agree. I'm gonna have to sprinkle a Brooks lineup in. I'm just gonna have to, because that's gonna be too much fun. But yeah, it's Rahm and Scotty for sure. I like the Morikawa call though, because he's won a PGA. This is what he does. How many times we're like broken records, and we're not the only ones that say it. If he could just freaking putt,
yeah,
Morikawa and like has the iron game's unconscious.
This is not a putting contest. If you remember, he should have won the putting contest, the putting contest of putting contests in Hawaii at the beginning of the year, and didn't. And since then, he's not really done shit. I mean, but. You know, I mean, now we're into a major here, so could see a little bit of a different call in this week potentially.
Yeah, and people, there's two reasons why he won't be popular. A, he's in this range with these big dogs, and B, people, I think the bomber narrative is a legit popular one. I'm not going to speak out of school there.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I'm not going to be out of school. And he ranks 93rd in this field, so people are going to like walk right past him thinking, but
yeah,
people forget when he's on, he's one of the most accurate drivers on the face of the planet.
Right.
Which now that I'm doing, looking at my model, I need to go back and do driving accuracy, at least a little percentage in here, just to see how these dudes rate out. But yeah, Morikawa, I think it's very, very enticing. 9K range. You got Xander at 99, Patrick Cantlay at 97. Spieth with his, have you seen the picture of his wrapped up wrist right now while he's out there playing?
No, but I did see somebody say that basically he looks good to go.
Yeah, I'll send you the picture of the wrist. He's good to go. I'm just wondering how long he's going to be good to go.
Yeah, it's a Spieth, risk for sure.
Yeah, Spieth, and there's a risk for the risk. Jordan Spieth at 96, Finau 95, JT 94, the defending champion. If you didn't watch Netflix, you wouldn't know that. Cam Smith, 93, Cam Young, newly fresh shaved, apparently. Cam Young at 92, Victor Hovland, 91, and Sungjae Im at 9,000. I know we say it all the time. I could easily start in this range, but it's ridiculous, the pricing here. So what do you like here? Why I find it?
Yeah. I mean, hard not to play Xander at that price, especially second and fourth in his last two events. He did finish 10th at the Masters. So three straight top 10s for him. And 10 looks to be trending in the right direction there. Cantlay, another guy who's an excellent driver of the ball, but also hits it really far. So I think he's most definitely playable this week. for sure. Finau, we all know how good of a ball striker he is. The problem with a lot of these guys is they're going to be really high owned. And there's one little sneaky guy besides Jordan Spieth at 3% owned. I mean, I would love to just say, let's play Jordan Spieth, but it's if you're playing 150 lineups, I would put 5 or 10 in there with Jordan Spieth in there. But if you're playing 20, it starts getting a little bit sketch to risk one of your lineups with him being hurt. The other pivot in this range is Cameron Smith. You getting him at about 7-8% in that range?
Yeah, I got about 8.5. Yeah, so you're good.
Coming off I guess I don't know where in the fuck they were even playing, but
this past coming off was Tulsa.
Tulsa, okay, all right. So just randomly go out in the middle of the country and play a golf tournament in Tulsa. A playoff victory over Dustin Johnson, or no, he lost in the playoff to Dustin Johnson.
DJ won. Yeah.
The stats aren't going to be there for people who are hardcore stats guys because, you know, you really don't get any off of Liv. But when Cam Smith is on, he's got the full package. Now, most of that, a lot of that is putting, but, you know, I think he's definitely worth the risk. And then Vic Hovland, you know, at 9,100 is another guy who I would definitely play. There's going to be a lot of ownership in this range besides Spieth. Yeah. And Cam Smith, though, I mean, there's going to be some chalky dudes and like might exceed 20% on two or three of them.
Yeah, Cam Young's the same projected in mine as Cam Smith right now, which kind of surprised me, to say the least.
As far as ownership?
Yeah, which surprised me. I thought he'd be more popular, but I guess it's tough when everyone else in this range is popular. And that is very, very frustrating because, again, I didn't look at ownership until right before the show because I've been trying to get my own narrative in my head first. And I love the concept of a Xander Cantlay start. Apparently everybody does because they're both around 20% give or take, and that is that's rough because I love both their game here. Cantlay second in my model, he's first off the tee, first in par fours, 450 to 500, driving distance not bad, 28th proximity with at a 200 plus 15th, like he's that's going to avoid a lot of bogeys, folks, if he can play that kind of game. He's 27th in bogey avoidance, and then you got Xander's 13th in my model, he's sixth in approach, he's 14th in bogey avoidance, 8th, like he's checks out great. We know how he can grind out tournaments like this. I love both those guys a lot. Finau is going to be super popular. I don't mind Tony, but he does show up at majors. He doesn't win, but he shows up. He's ranked 5th in my model, so he plays well here. Vic,
that makes it more difficult at that price point, 9,500. Because you really need him. We're used to
like 85 with him.
Yeah, and if he was at 85, he would probably be 35%
out. 100%. Vic Hovland is interesting at 91 because he. He just can't putt and his around the green games rough, but if he does everything else, like his par four scoring, his proximity from 200 is outstanding. Great off the tee. So it's tough not to like him. I love the Cam Smith call. Like there's at least three live guys. DJ will be with Smith and Brooks for me. Like I'm interested in all three of them on this golf course. So I'm with you on that pivot. I still do like Cantlay and Schauffele, and it might be one of those where I eat a little bit of chalk and differentiate somewhere else because I think they've set up very, very well. And you could make an argument for Cantlay or Schauffele to be in the bottom 10K range pretty easily. And then they might not be as popular. But, fun range. It's funny that in this range, JT does have a 12.7% roster rate, which is like the third worst in this range. And so no one's really talking about JT, the defending champion, which is pretty, pretty interesting to say the least.
It's because he's kind of like he's kind of having a Rory type of year. Where it's just like blah. But JT tends to do that, and then all of a sudden
wakes up.
Let's look back real quick last year before his win at the PGA Championship. I mean, he was 5th, 35th, 8th, 3rd. This year he's 14th, 25th, missed cut, 10th. I mean, you know, it's just. I don't know, man. I'm not a big JT guy anyways. And then so, like, I don't know, playing him at 16% in this field, to me, I'd rather not, but.
It makes sense. I get it. It's just interesting. Like, yeah, it's a major, so there's going to be tons of dudes. So kind of cherry-picking narratives here, I guess. Let's get 8K now. You got Jason Day, who won last week. Dustin at 89, Dustin Johnson at 88, Homa at 87. He's got the narrative that he can't perform in majors. Hideki Matsuyama, 86, Hatton, 85, Fitz, 84, Lowry, 83, Burns, 82, your boy Thigala at 81, Fleets, 8K. I believe Tom Kim withdrew, I believe. He's 8K.
Did he?
I'll have to double check. I thought I saw a headline on that. I will double check while you talk. I still have my 8K in here, not withdrawn.
I've got him in the field too.
Okay. So I'll double check that. I thought I saw something, but it could have just been spam on the Twitter. This range, I can make a, I might make one full lineup in just the 8K range. Like these
there's,
are awesome golfers here.
There's plenty of to like there. I mean, DJ, I checked him off early. Was one of the guys that I wanted to play. And then I listened to Mayo's, a little bit of Mayo's pod this today just to see who's Andrew Kirst. And DJ is Andrew Kirst. I can tell you who's not Andrew Kirst. He said that Cameron Young had no chance. So for what it's worth there. But so I do like DJ. I mean, obviously coming off the win in the middle of nowhere in Tulsa. Finished eighth here in 2013 at this tournament. But I think Hideki is a great pivot option in this range. He finished 19th here in 2013, coming off of 23rd last week, 16th Masters, 15th the Texas Open, 5th the Players. I think he's coming off the injury and is going to be one of the lower owned guys in this range here. Tyrrell Hatton, 8,500, is hard not to play him. 5th and 3rd in his last two starts. Matt Fitzpatrick. Is it a Fitzpatrick week, you think?
Oh, hell yeah. We're talking about bogey avoidance, low-scoring tournaments. Yeah.
Yeah.
This
is him. Yeah. I mean, I saw something where, like, the last time that the last time it was played at, like, that they had the, at this golf course – the U.S. Open was at the same golf course that it was last year. I don't know, something fucking weird. And it was back-to-back winners or whatever. It was Sean McKeel. And
oh, that says a lot then.
Yeah. Matt Fitzpatrick would fit that same mold, but, I mean, that's just random shit. But either way, you know, I like where Fitzpatrick's game's at and the fact that he just kind of plods along and just – you know, keeps his ball in play and doesn't do anything too extravagant, but also he can pound it, man. I mean, he was averaging 314 off the tee at the Wells Fargo. So it's not like he's a short hitter. Now, he was not hitting very many fairways. He hit about half of them at the Wells Fargo. So would want to definitely up that number, but I think he's playable. I hate that they put Thigala at that price. That should depress some ownership though. I mean, the dude hasn't missed a cut since October. Finished 5th at the Heritage, 56th his last time out to Wells Fargo, but I do love Tommy Fleetwood at 8,000. 5th his last time out to Wells Fargo, 15th, 33rd, 3rd. Going back to the Valspar there. So Tommy fits the mold of people that you really want in major championships typically because he hits a lot of fairways, he hits a lot of greens, and he two putts. Yep. That's just what Tommy Fleetwood does. And that's why he doesn't win a lot, especially on the PGA Tour, because most of the time you got to get to 15, 20 under. Here, you know, you can shoot 3 or 4 under and be inside the top 10 potentially.
And we've seen him go crazy low on certain rounds at these big-time tournaments. Like
I mean, he can shoot 62 out of nowhere.
Yeah, which is great to see. So, yeah, I love this range. DJ, I'm with you. I thought he'd be priced higher than 88, to be honest. Kind of surprised by this. Even without playing often, I know, so his stats are all skewy for the last 24 rounds. Even with as far back as his 24th round goes, I don't know, he's still 9th in my model. That says a lot about how good he was playing before this. He's 7th in driving distance. That's all that matters to me. So I like him. I like JD. I hope he comes in lower owned coming off the W and with some other guys in this area kind of shadowing him out potentially. Maybe not, though. But, yeah, this is a big Tyrrell Hatton week for me. Matthew Fitzpatrick week. They're both 10th and 17th in my model. Hatton's been insane the last few weeks, just playing lights out golf. And this price tag at $8,500, I know it's a major, is just still sweet, though. 5th at the Nelson, 3rd at the Wells Fargo, 19th Heritage, 34th Masters, playing better and better each week. Love Fitz, as you mentioned. I was all in on Fitz. I think Matsuyama at 86 is very good as well. He's a bogey avoiding machine. If he can, and he used to be one of the better approach guys. Just, I guess it depends on the health with Hideki, but he has been playing lately, 23rd at the Byron Nelson, 16th at the Masters, 15th at the Valero. So when he's been teeing it up, that's T23 or better in 3 straight tournaments. That'd be pretty freaking awesome, $8,600. So, yeah, I like Day, Johnson, Matsuyama, Hatton, Fitz, and then Fleets at 8,000. I'm a big fan of this range. So we'll see how bad it goes. 75 to 79, you got Connors, Neiman, Taylor Moore, Adam Scott, Justin Rose, Bradley Reed, Gooch, Ricky Fowler, Clark, Answer, and that'll do it. So what do you like in this range?
Love Adam Scott. Absolutely love him. 7,800. This is a low price for a guy. Finished fifth here back in 2013. Coming off an eighth place finish last week. Finished fifth at the Wells Fargo. Just absolute ball striker extraordinaire. If he can make a few putts, he'll be in contention. Ricky Fowler at 7,600, 19th here in 2013. I can't believe he hasn't missed a cut since the Wyndham Championship back in August. Four straight top 15s for Ricky. He was 8,800 at the Wells Fargo, which is, I mean, not as good of a field, obviously, as the PGA Championship, but it also didn't have 20 PGA pros in it. And it was one of the elevated events. So you're getting a much better price on him at 7,600. So I like Ricky a lot this week as well. Wyndham Clark coming off the W at the Wells Fargo is most definitely playable. And I mean, there's some other guys that you can consider. I'm interested to see what you say, but I don't know. Like, I really just like Adam Scott and Ricky Fowler in this range.
It's going to be pretty
groundbreaking shit, but yeah, that's who I want to play in this range.
Yeah, I'm almost at the point where I think sometimes we're overthinking chalk because everyone, like, golf is play the best place, as they say.
Well, the problem is there's too much information out there. Yeah, now.
That's kind of where I was going with it. Like, some guys are chalk. Like, to me, like 15% used to be chalk. That ain't chalk anymore. Like, that's kind of low owned. I'll take anywhere from 13 to 17% half the time right now.
Yeah.
Like, just give me that all day long. Where, you know, a couple years ago, I'm like, shit, he's going to be chalky. He's 15% this week.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, no, I'll take that all day long. So that's like when we look at the ownerships, I'm like, okay, that's not bad. I'll take, you know, Ricky Fowler at 15. It's not the end of the world. Wyndham Clark at 15. They're playing such good golf that they kind of earned their right to be 15%.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a narrative that you guys kind of, I keep telling myself, like, hey, get it out of your brain. Like, we're not talking about the weeks where we saw like 30% recently of certain dudes. You're like, yeah, you're fucked.
Well, the thing is they're also not missing the cut.
Yes. Yeah, you so need them to miss the cut, or it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you're not doing yourself any favors by fading just based on simply them being 15% owned. I mean, obviously, if a dude's going to be 30, 35, 40% owned, most definitely there's merit in fading in a potential miscut there. But it's not happened in the last 3 years, dude. Yep, I mean,
exactly.
We've just been getting absolutely crushed by the chalk.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. So that's what I was saying is we're on the same page, basically. I have Adam Scott. He's 12th in my model. We've been on the Adam Scott train. We're not alone, but I say on our show for the last few weeks since he's been teeing up, and he has not disappointed. He's been great. The ball striking's on point. So I love me some Scotty. I do like Keegan Bradley. $7,700. He's 30th in my model. When you think tough courses, elevated events even, he's been playing pretty darn well.
35th in the Wells Fargo.
It's even better. I think back, if we're thinking nasty, nasty, rough, and long courses, he crushed it at Torrey Pines earlier this year. Played really well at Torrey Pines. Now, this is probably going to be a tougher track. I'm not going to deny that, but Torrey's pretty freaking hard. Like, if you're out of whack there, too. And he showed up on that Sunday, threw some darts. So, Bradley at 77. I like Fowler at 76. I love Wyndham Clark at 75. He's 20th in my model. The one other guy I'll mention, because there are other arguments you could be made for certain dudes, as you said. I like Taylor Gooch at $7,600. I do. I really do. He won twice on Live, guys. He's a two-time winner this year.
He didn't just win. He crushed, shoot 20 destroyed. Under versus, yeah, like 10 under in second place in one event. Yeah.
He crushed. That was one of the Asian again. He's only predicted 7% ownership. The dude can he's really good around the green. Decent distance, like an average distance, the golf ball. He can avoid bogeys. I think at the price point, he intrigues me. Now, I thought he'd be more popular because of the way, if you're going to take a Live guy, take the guy that's winning events, maybe. But I think he's a dude that, he's one of the guys when he left, we were like, damn, like he could have been one of the next big things. Yeah. And he wasn't there yet. So I'm still interested in Taylor Gooch. 7K to 74. Who do you like?
Cameron Davis. I mean, obviously, if we're talking about hitting it long off the tee, Cameron Davis is up there with the distance. Now, the accuracy is a little bit more sketch. I love Russell Henley this week. Now, he missed the cut here in 2013, but it's coming off a 19th at the Heritage, 4th at the Masters, 19th at the Players' Championship. One elevated event, one fifth major, and then obviously the Masters – So Russell Henley's been playing really good golf. Griot, man. I mean, so 23rd, 5th, 7th in his last three starts, and he's hitting it really pure right now. I was looking at some stats earlier, especially on approach. He is like in the top five in this field in the last 6 weeks. So it's pretty good for him. Højgaard at 7,200 is another guy that I've got checked off here. He bombs it, been playing on the European tour mostly. So the stats don't really tell you a whole heck of a lot, but in his three PGA Tour starts this year, 33rd, 28th, 2nd, one of those was an opposite field event, but that was the second place finish. And of course, Mexico and Texas are not elevated. Gary Woodland at 7,100. I'm surprised this price is that far down. He's been coming on more lately. The putting has not been there, but the ball striking has been. So Gary Woodland at 7,100, most definitely playable. And last but not least, last year's second place, or I guess he finished third after it was all said and done, Mito Pereira, 43rd at the Masters. You know, you just never know. At $7,000, I think he's most definitely worth, you know, taking a shot on.
Yeah, no, out of all the ranges, I'll say this is the range I like the least so far. But I like Cam Davis at 74. I think you said his game's starting to come around. You've been on him for a little while now. So it's made me kind of pay more attention to him. It's a guy we loved before he went. Like, well, apparently he was sick and had changes with his clubs we weren't aware of, and now he's good to go. So I don't mind going back to him at $7,400. I like some Emiliano Grillo, 73, like you mentioned. The dude's great par four score, decent bogey avoidance, good approach game. So I like Grillo at 73. I had Højgaard down as well. So we're the same on that one at 72. We're like on the same page. This sucks. I absolutely love Gary Woodland at $7,100. He's 7th in my model, 4th off the tee, 2nd in proximity 200 plus. He's actually 19th in the field in driving distance. Pretty sure not many would. You'd lose a bar bet if you said, I guarantee you, Gary Woodland is a top 20 driver of the golf ball in this tournament. People have done, no way. Yeah, no, he is. Yeah, he is. So he's at least $7,100. Great in approach game. So yeah, I'll take me some Gary Woodland at 7,100. And then Seamus Power is the other guy I'll take a chance at 7,000. This kind of gets like, there's going to be options down below here, so you don't need to really probably go to Seamus, but his overall stats aren't great in the last 24 rounds. But if you look at his recent events, he's coming in phenomenal form. T18th at the Wells Fargo and T19th at the Byron Nelson. Sure, he missed the cut of the Heritage, 46th at the Masters, but those last 2 weeks getting ramped up for this event, I like that a lot for Seamus Power, a guy that we know went on, has a very strong approach game. So that could come in handy, obviously, at this golf course. It's been off quite a bit. It's been a rough go. Like, he's, like I said, if you look at stats, you'd think I'm freaking nuts. But his last 2 weeks have been very good on tour. So Power at 7,000 is a guy I'll take a chance on. 6K range. Who you liking?
Matt Kuchar at 69. Four straight made cuts for him on tour. Finished 22nd here in 2013. And he's just been playing pretty solid golf for Matt Kuchar this year. So I just feel like he could do well this week. Jordan Smith at 6,800. Been playing all European tour golf. So the stats are a little bit weird again, but my model likes him. Jaeger?
If you're looking driving distance, yes. If you're looking bogey avoidance, buckle up. he could do it just because he does hit it far enough and he could keep it interesting. I just usually prefer him more birdie fest events.
I got you. Well, he finished. So he's come off 11th place finish at the Byron Nelson last week, 27th Wells Fargo, 18th in Mexico. Missed cut the Heritage, but four straight made cuts before that, bad. Too. Not bad. I mean, like, finished 44th of the Players. I can't remember what the winning score there was. Honda Classic finished 14th, which is one of the tougher places on tour.
This price is probably not bad. I'm not going to argue that.
You know, 70 or 6,700. Feel like you could do a lot worse. Hayden Buckley is another guy I got checked off at 6,600. Ryan Fox at 6,500. And then David Lingmuirth.
You make fun of me every time I say his name. You're picking David Lingmuirth now?
Well, so I was just going through and just cherry picking stats earlier. And on his approach has been really good. He's terrible putting, good around the green. Terrible off the tee, but on approach, I'm just saying 6,500. I'm not going to play him. I'm just giving you names. And then last but not least is 6200 Pablo Larrazabal. Missed out here in 2013, but no European tour guy. The model likes him because his approach. I mean, he's been killing it on approach in the last six weeks. So, yeah, there you go. I mean, I don't know that I'll really be down in the 6K range. I do like, I could see myself potentially playing like Jordan Smith, Jaeger, or Kuchar, but dipping below, you know, Hayden Buckley at 6,600 to me is starting to get real sketch.
Yeah, Kuchar's interesting at 6,900 bucks here just because, like, rating-wise, he's 70th in my model. He's second around the green, which is nice. But you just look at his recent form, and that's what it's all about. Like, make the cut down here, get stuff done. He's coming in with a 43rd, a 23rd, a 19th, a 3rd in his last four events. That's Nelson, Fargo, Heritage, Valero. That's not the big dogs of big dogs, but 23rd Wells Fargo says a lot about what Kuchar's doing to me. Dean Burmeister, I'll go back to him at 6,900 bucks. He's 15th in my model. A lot of that's Euro Tour, though, so be careful. It could skew things. But when he was on the PGA Tour, he was 4th in driving distance. He was 9th in proximity of 200+. I played a lot of Burmeister when he's been out here because he can just pipe it, and that could play really well as long as he's in the fairway. Yannick Paul's another Euro Tour guy that's been playing extremely well. He's got a win over there this year at 6,800 bucks. He's a dude you can look at. And then I got Buckley at 66. He's 23rd in my model, actually 6th off the tee in this field, 15th in the par 4s, 450 to 500. So he could come in handy. And I got a couple below him. I like the Ryan Fox call. He's a bomber as well, 9th in driving distance in this field. And then two dudes at $6,300. Our boy Jimmy Walker, Jesse. Jimmy Walker keeps getting it done. I don't know, but the stats don't lie. I'll say that.
Yeah. Of course, I played him last week, and he finished DFL of the guys who made
it. Yeah, that's why I was looking at, because he was came into the event 22nd at Valero, 25th at Heritage, 15th at Mexico, 14th at Wells Fargo, 74th at the Nelson. And he was playing good until, like, the weekend.
You know what's funny, too, is I originally had your boy Sam Stevens on a lineup, and then I swapped it out because I was like, I need to get Jimmy Walker in there because I talked him up so good. And then, yeah. Fuck.
There
fuck
you go. Me. There you go.
But yeah, 6 through the cut and, you know, whatever.
Well, he's 38th in my model. He's Jimmy Walker. Wow. 8th in driving distance in this field in the last 24 rounds. Jimmy Walker.
He's out there pounding it, man. Jeez. He's averaging 331 off the tee at Wells Fargo, 328 off the tee.
Where did this man come from?
He's always hit it long.
Man, it's like he's putting it together right now. Usually he's a West Coast dude, it feels like. Texas, West Coast. He's putting it all together. Neesmith at 63. The overall stat, he's like 134 in my model. But this is a dude that we used to play a lot, Jesse. I mean, last two events, 30th at the Byron Nelson, 35th at the Wells Fargo. He had a 59th at the Heritage. Well, his last 2 weeks, for $6,300 bucks, he's starting to come on. So he could be one you could get here super low owned. Then I'm just going to say it because we don't know the price yet. But you mentioned Sam Stevens.
It's got to be in the 60.
I was thinking 68.
I'd say below that. I was thinking like below 65.
Oh, let's go.
Like down with these other guys that are like kind of, whatever names.
Ryan Foxes of the world, the Buckleys.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him being about 65 there.
Well, I could see myself rostering some then. So if you guys get that email that says changes to your event and you see Sam Stevens, 6,500 bucks, I think he's a good play. So
I don't disagree. He's been hot, man.
Yeah. We joked about it a couple weeks ago because he pops in the mall. Like, his stats don't lie, and he keeps backing it up out there. So, like, again, and it's golf. Eventually, he's going to have a blow-up week, and you're like, what the hell? But I'll ride it. I'll ride it at that price point. Let's recap things. If you're playing cash this week, which I think you can.
Yeah, definitely can.
Where are you going?
I got three guys below 8K. Woodland, Scott, and Fowler.
Yeah, that's actually pretty fair.
Then figure it out.
Woodland and Scott for sure. I'd throw a Woodland, Scott, and give me Tommy Fleetwood at 8K. Now, if you're starting out a tournament, this is where it gets fun with a field like this. How are you starting it out?
Yeah, it sure does. I like Xander just because of the price point there. I do think he's going to be popular, which is a little bit sketch, but then you can throw like Hideki to kind of even that out and then go Tommy Fleetwood.
And for me, how do you like the Xander call? I'll just go different here. I'll just start out with three guys in the middle, and you guys can piece around it. Give me DJ, Hatton, and Fitzpatrick. Have fun, kids. I think that's a fun way to start things out. And since I got ahead of myself here, let's recap things, Jesse. 10K range, he's your number one guy.
I'm going to say Rahm.
Yeah, it is Rom is the correct answer. I just hope Brooks keeps it entertaining. I just love seeing him smirking around there. 9K range.
Xander.
I'll go Cantlay. 8K.
Fleetwood.
Give me Fitz. Stick to my boy, 8,400. 75 to 79.
Adam Scott.
I'll go Wyndham Clark. Oh, man, I should have went somewhere else, but I'll go Wyndham Clark. No, change. Keegan Bradley. Keegan Bradley at 7,700 bucks. 7K to 74.
Henley.
Gary Woodland. 6K range.
I'm going to go with Jaeger.
I like the Jaeger call. The more you discussed it, also you talked about it. I'll go Burmeister.
Stevens when he gets put in.
Yeah, exactly. That's my pick. great call. Thanks for helping me out there. It's Sam freaking Stevens, people. That's the guy you want when everything hits the road. All right. Picks to win. This could be a fun week for head-to-heads, top 20 bets, all that stuff. Because it's crazy you have a major where Scottie Scheffler is the favorite at 7-1 and Rahm has 7.5-1 in a freaking major, Jesse.
Yeah.
So who do you like?
Adam Scott at 80-1. I think there's a lot of value at Adam Scott 80-1. If you look at the like Ricky Fowler's 55, I don't see Ricky really winning this, but that just seems ridiculous to me.
That much better than Adam Scott either.
Yeah, that Adam Scott's played so much better over the last few weeks and he's 80-1. And then kind of scrolling up more toward the top there. You know, Cam Smith at 35, I think, is all right. Sungjae at 35, I could see that. And then, you know, Xander at 16, I think. Xander and Patrick there at 16. Obviously, it sucks to lay 16-1 on anyone in the golf tournament, but when the two guys who are the favorites are 7-1, which is ridiculous, you know, 16-1 is not terrible in my opinion.
Yeah, if I need a long shot, I like a little where'd he go? Gary Woodland at 100-1. That's one I'd take a peek at. But yeah, higher up.
Keegan's 100.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. Like there's a couple, like those are some T20 bets I could definitely invest in. Because yeah. I like them quite a bit to make a run and keep it interesting. So those are a couple that are pretty solid. Higher up the board though, I do like Wendy Clark's 80-1 too. But Fleetwood at 65, like one of these days it's going to happen. Is it going to be a major? Probably not, but one of these days. So that's interesting to me at least. You mentioned Sungjae, I think, at 35. I like that. Hatton at 35 I like as well. So, yeah, there's a few in there. And the Fitz is at 30, man. I'd have a lot in this 30K range because I'm going to have a lot of 8 and 9K golfers. So it makes a lot of sense in the grand scheme of things. All right, final thoughts for our second major of the year, Jesse.
I don't have much. Other than like I was talking about at the beginning of the pod, you know, when people are just so enamored with the fact that this golf course is going to be so incredibly hard, I would, you know, in some aspects not go that way and make some lineups that where you think it's going to be a little bit easier and potentially closer to like 10 under instead of a, you know, yeah, everybody's doom and gloom of even par is going to win this golf tournament.
Yeah, the way I kind of think, and it's kind of what you're saying, is the way I'm trying to build is, I just want guys that can pipe it and are playing good golf right now. Like because if they're driving it, hitting the fairways, it won't be that tough. It'll be tough. It won't be that tough. Like these guys will be able to figure it out.
So no, 100%.
Kind of like, what you're saying is what I'm saying. Like
talking about the best golfers in the world here.
Yeah. If these guys are finding fairways, they're going to find ways to make it a little easier than we think.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's what I want to kind of echo on what you're saying is I'm not going straight out there. Like certain guys look at their modeling, put it under tough conditions and all that stuff. Like, no, we're not doing that. How do you know how tough these conditions really are? We have not seen this golf course like ever.
Yeah.
Like sure. It looks tough. It looks hard as shit. I'm not going to deny it, but like we've never seen it.
Not to mention that sample size is really small. Yeah. I mean, I can see, you know, kind of going and looking at that, like, and then, but not basing everything off of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like not every aspect. I mean, it could be 10 under win this. It could be 5 under win this. It could be 15 under. Nothing's going to surprise me at this point because, you know, we were all so damn sure Aaron Hills was going to be a plus 5 winner. And here comes Brooks and shoots 16. So,
yeah. And the thing is with the PGA, they want it to be tough, but they don't want it to be US Open tough.
Right.
But just know that right now. Like they want the challenge, but they still want, like you're saying, like 8-12, they'd love to see 8-12. Yeah. They'd be so happy with that.
Right.
So, we'll see how it goes. Should be a ton of fun. Hope you guys enjoy the weekend. I kind of have my Sunday set aside to watch some golf this week. We'll see how it goes. Might go play golf. I can't guarantee that.
But, I'll be on the golf course for sure.
Yeah. I was saying, now that I think about it, I've been busy the last few weeks. I might actually go play golf this Sunday. So we'll see. We'll recap it, though, for y'all next week. Make sure you check Jesse out on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm Matt Biedientrich. Until next time, this was your 2023 PGA Championship preview. Catch you all next time.